it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Excited to have our next guest on the show. Versatile. Track and field, soccer, Vanderbilt. You got to be. They don't take dummies at Vanderbilt. I didn't even bother applying to Vanderbilt. Simone Charlie Portland Thorns joining us now. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Full disclosure, your name came up on the show because of Alabama Adriana, who you went to high school with, mentioned that she went to high school with you, and we said we got to get her on the show.
I know. We just got done talking. I was so excited.
Give us an idea. Like, let's go back to high school because, you know, obviously you are a soccer star and track and field is in your background. Why Vanderbilt? How did Vanderbilt become part of your story?
Yeah, so I was interested in going to Vanderbilt throughout high school. It's, like, not too far from, it's, like, 3 hours north of my hometown. I had a couple of cousins who went there, and just with academics, that was something that was important to me. So I originally was going to just apply and try and get in and everything, but I ended up playing at a soccer tournament and ended up getting recruited to play soccer there. And so it kind of all just came together at the last minute. So it was a pretty cool opportunity.
What was that like to run track and field, play soccer, not just, you know, as a kid, but you get to do that all the way into college?
Yeah, it was definitely a cool opportunity. It was fun being able to just kind of do two different things. I think a lot of times people try and specialize early in sports. And so just having the opportunity in college to, you know, play soccer during the fall and then track in the spring, they were kind of a break from each other. And so it was definitely really fun, and I enjoyed it for sure.
I know your older sister was a triple jumper at Auburn. Your brother was a triple jumper and a long jumper. You had that sort of around you growing up. Who taught you the triple jump, or who was working with you?
Yeah, so my sister actually was the first one to start triple jumping. She started jumping in high school. Her coach just kind of threw her into it. They were trying to score some points and like, hey, why don't you just try out triple jump? And she ended up doing pretty well at it. So then my brother was like, okay, well, if she can do it, then I should do it. So then he started doing it in high school. And then I saw them doing it. And I'm like, okay, well, if they're doing it, then I want to try it. And so we all just kind of followed in her footsteps. So, yeah, it was cool.
You had a chance through sports to obviously go to college, play professionally in Portland as part of the NWSL, and also play overseas a little bit. And you went to Australia to play. I mean, did you think as a kid that this is what was going to happen? This was part of your story, that sports was going to be the fuel for you?
Yes and no. I mean, I was always pretty passionate about soccer. You know, when you're little, when I started playing, I was like, you know, I want to be a professional soccer player. But, you know, for that to kind of come into fruition and to actually happen and be able to play here and play abroad has definitely been a dream come true. So sometimes I still have to pinch myself and say, like, wow, this is my life, actually. Like, this is cool. So, yeah.
It's interesting that you talked about being versatile and not specializing, because I've got three daughters, and you know, you hear over and over, you got to specialize, you need private lessons, you need this. Like, speak to the parents out there, because most kids are not going to play professionally in any sport. They're going to do it because they're going to build friendships and confidence and, you know, grow as a person. Like, what do you say to parents out there who have kids?
Yeah, I from just from my personal experience, I don't really buy into the you have to specialize early. I think you should be able to play whatever sports that you want, do what you love, and do what you enjoy doing. Because at the end of the day, like, there's so many lessons that sports teach you that have nothing to do with your performance on the field. So I think it's important to explore all of those options. And if you're having fun, then why quit and why stop to specialize? So I think even for me, that's why I continued doing track and continued doing soccer as long as I could, because they were fun. And I think that's so important, especially when you think about your goals. Like, they need to be something that's fun and something that's enjoyable for you. So if playing multiple sports are enjoyable and you're having a great time, I don't think there's a reason to quit or just specialize so early.
You're a good follow on social media. You're uplifting. You're not one of these people who's complaining. You're not a complainer. I have to think that comes from the Charlie household. Somebody said, you know, there's going to be no whining and complaining. And who did that?
I would say my parents for sure. But I also think just my siblings. I have an older sister. My brother is a year older than me, and my sister is 3 years older than me, and they've just kind of been examples for me. So I think just us also playing sports together, we grow up being competitive with each other and trying to bring out the best in each other. And so, yeah, you can't complain while doing that. So.
What has it been like for you guys as professional soccer players in, you know, the last 6 months, as, you know, you're trying to be safe but also follow your dreams?
Yeah, I would say one word to describe it would be weird. I think this time has been a weird time for everyone. Just trying to figure out how to stay safe, but also do our job at the same time. You know, we had the bubble back in July where we played in the Challenge Cup, and just kind of like we stayed in Utah, we're in hotels, very strict rules, and basically trying to figure out how can we play this contact sport and have all of this contact but still be safe and make sure everyone's health is a priority. So it's definitely been a weird time and definitely an adjustment, but I think we've started to get the hang of how to do it.
Yeah, I don't want this ever to feel normal, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want this to be our normal.
No, for sure.
Simone Charlie, our guest. Portland Thorns. You still triple jump? Could you get out there today? Could you do it?
You know, I could try. I'll get an A for effort, but like questionable execution. I'm not really sure. Yeah, we'll see. I don't think my coach Hump, my track coach, would be too happy to hear that.
Right. Yeah. Because there's so many people. Like, when you think back, you have to think, you know, people look at you, they see you on the field, and, you know, you're running around, and, you know, everyone's like, wow, look at her. They don't see all the people who invested in you, do they?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. It's like you see me or you see whoever out there, but the amount of people that it took to get me here and to get at this level, it's like those are the people I think need more credit and need more light, because I would not be here if it wasn't for my family, my coaches, my friends, and the people who supported me when, you know, I didn't even believe in myself. So I think that's really important.
You won 9 state championships in soccer and track and field as a high school athlete. And when I mentioned those people who poured into you, whose face popped up there?
Ooh. I would say my parents, for sure. Those are definitely, they've always been in my corner. Anytime I've had a bad meet or had a bad game or anything like that, it's my parents are the first people that I call to cry about it. I would also say my siblings as well, and my coaching staff that I've had just growing up. I feel like I've been blessed to be around coaches that have truly believed in me and invested and gone the extra mile for me. So I think just, yeah, the support system I've had has been phenomenal, and it's gotten me where I am today.
You know, I've got 3 daughters, and I think it's amazing what you guys have done. And I mean, but you guys, I mean, the Thorns as an organization, I mean, I think it's, you know, the greatest success story in women's professional sports on the planet. I mean, the way that you draw, the way that you compete, it's inspiring. It is it, I this is kind of a question that you got to kind of step out of yourself, but do you talk to mom or have you talked to relatives who are older who remember a time when maybe this stuff wasn't available or wasn't a big deal or you weren't playing in front of 20,000 fans? And how surreal is that?
Yeah, for sure. I think of, the late David Williams, he was the athletic director at Vanderbilt. He passed away in 2019. And I just think of conversations I had with him. I remember in track, even after nationals, and he just talked about how it's so important that, you know, you want to win and you want to do these big things, but you have to pinch yourself sometimes because do you realize even just the opportunity that you have in this moment is just such a blessing because it did not always look like this. And women did not always have these opportunities. Black women did not always have these opportunities. And so just being able to give your best and make the most of those opportunities, that is what is important. It's not necessarily about the result. It's making sure that you gave it your all and did your best because at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
I can remember my oldest daughter going to games with her, and it was kind of around the time when, you know, women's sports, you started seeing more of it on television and it was more visible, and I really just wanted her to see it. And now you don't really have to consciously think about that as a parent. We have young ones too. And I know I can take them to a Thorns game and they can look out of the field and they can project themselves and they can, you know, they can see you, they can see another player. They can go, hey, I could do that if I'm good enough. Like that opportunity, that avenue is there. And you're part of that. And I think that's amazing. You went undrafted in the draft. The Thorns picked you up. Mm-hmm. You put you on the practice squad. You had to fight your way into this league, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What was that like?
It was definitely challenging. It was a challenging time for me. You know, you come from college and you're a go-to person on the team, but then you come to the professional level and literally everyone was that person.
Yeah, right.
And I'm playing with some of the biggest names. You got Tobin. I look to my left, there's Sink. There's just so many of the players that I literally grew up watching on television and had their jerseys. And it's like, it was just eating a whole bunch of humble pie for a year of just, okay, how can I learn? How can I get better and still kind of maintain my confidence, but also have a humility of understanding that I'm here to learn and I'm here to grow. And so I think for me, it was definitely a challenge just figuring out my place and figuring out how to grow as a player, but also come to understand my identity as a player as well. So that, when you talked about who you have to rely on and the people that come to mind, like my mom, my dad, like, yeah. And my sister and brother, they got a call from you like literally every day, like either talking about training, crying about something. I leaned on them heavily. And for that reason, that's why I'm here today.
Simone Charlie is our guest, Portland Thorns. You got your first start in May of last year. You had 2 assists in your second start. Was there a moment for you where you looked around, it may have come in practice, where you went, okay, I've gone from undrafted player to somebody who belongs?
Yeah, I would say I remember my first game, and I was so nervous, to say the least. And just like going out there on the field, and I'm just like, whoa, like, Simone, I walked into the locker room and I see a jersey and it has my name on it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is real. I like took a picture of it, like sent it to my family. I was like, this says Charlie on it. Yeah. And I was just like, it kind of just hit me like, Simone, you prayed for moments like this and like it is here now. And so I feel like for me, that first game was just, it was humbling and exciting. And then that next week we came to Providence, and you know, Providence is, it's Providence. And just being able to play in front of that crowd after a year of being in the stands and watching the games and seeing people and telling myself like, you know, Simone, you know, one day that'll be you, you'll be out there one day. And then that day came and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is real. So yeah.
you're a long way from home, and Alabama Adriana is a long way from Birmingham, and you guys, there are things that you had there that could be comfort. If we could transport one restaurant, one business, one park, what are we bringing from your hometown to Portland to keep you company? You both of you can chime in here.
Adriana, do you know, you remember Veterans Park right outside of Stain Park?
Oh, yeah. I was just there a few weeks ago, and I stopped by there, of course.
Yes. That is, like, quintessential Hoover, Alabama. Like, walking around veterans, running the cross-country trails, or just, like, walking around the lake. Like, I would transport that, because that, there's just so many memories at Veterans Park.
Definitely. That or Railroad Park for me, for sure.
Ooh, yes.
You have the nice, like, cityscape in the background. You have the downtown Barron's Field right there. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I thought you guys were going to talk about some great food place. I'm hungry. I thought this was going to be, and you're talking about exercising. All right.
It tells me all I need to know. You know who you're talking to.
I know. I was looking forward to hearing about some. All right, give me a restaurant. Give me a food.
A food. See, when you say restaurants, though, there's nothing beats my grandma's cooking. So when I think of food, I think of Lily Mae Charlie in the kitchen, like throwing down. So I would say mac and cheese or cornbread, some dressing, collard greens, like.
That's
that
what I'm talking about.
Where it's at.
All right, let's do it. All right, let's fly her out. Let me make it happen. Simone, I really appreciate you. I love that we got a chance to have some people who wouldn't have got to know you get to know you a little bit. Now, when they see you on the pitch, they'll be able to say, "Hey, I heard her on the radio show." She's a great follower on Instagram and Twitter. If you need a lift in your day, Simone Charlie's never complaining. I'll tell you that. I appreciate you making time for us, Simone.
No, thanks so much for having me.
There it is, Portland Thorns, Simone Charlie. Now I'm hungry. She started talking. I should have just stuck with the exercise. Mac and cheese. Man, let's get grandma here. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Good stuff with Simone Charlie. Now you watch a Thorns match. I'm doing better with my soccer terminology. Soccer listeners will note. I've been watching Ted Lasso. If you're not watching Ted Lasso, then you're not watching the right things on your television. I think it's on Apple. I think it's on Apple TV. But basically, have you watched Ted Lasso, either one of you guys?
I haven't. I've got it on the watch list, though. I just got a year of Apple TV. I remember the that's where the football coach it becomes the coach.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember the original skit from, gosh, how many years ago was that, during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was a while. Yeah. It was a while ago, but they've turned that into a full blown series, and it is terrific. It's outstanding. It's uplifting. It's smart. It's funny. And it's surprising, because you look at it at face value and you're like, this is going to be silly or goofy or ridiculous. But essentially, the central character, Ted Lasso, the coach, is Wichita State's football coach, and he is brought to the Premier League to coach a soccer club. And you expect disaster, but coaching is relationships. It's people. Ted Lasso proves that. He's got a little Yogi Berra in him, but he's brilliant in his own way, and the series has great characters. So I've been watching that a little bit and learning my soccer terminology. All right, that brings us to our big splash.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, the Houston Astros just won't go away, will they? Former Astros GM Jeff Luhnow, in an interview that aired yesterday, denied that he knew anything about the team's sign-stealing in 2017 and 2018. And he claims that the individuals who were involved with it are still working for the club. He told Houston's KPRC TV station that he has access to 22,000 text messages from the Astros video room personnel after he was fired. He says the messages show the scope of the cheating and they exonerate him from wrongdoing. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, said this morning that the 22,000 electronic messages are a fraction of the evidence in the case. He says there's other evidence, electronic, testimonial, that indicate Lewandowski's culpability in the matter. Secondly, and more importantly, though, this is me speaking now, Manfred and baseball put baseball executives on notice after the Red Sox used the Apple Watch incident to steal signs from the Yankees. Manfred told the GMs of the league that you are responsible for your team. This is like parenting 101. You know, oh, I didn't tell my kids that they shouldn't do that. They're your kids. They have to know better. You're responsible for them. In the end, the Houston Astros just won't go away. There's a World Series Game 1 that will be played between the Rays and the Dodgers, and still, here are the Astros in their garbage allegations, claims, defenses, whatever you want to call it, still part of the story for Major League Baseball. This is not good for baseball. The Dodgers and Rays should have the stage. Why the Houston Astros GM is choosing now to come out and talk about this, probably because he's being asked about it, but Major League Baseball got so much of this wrong. They wanted it to go away. They cut deals with the players and gave them immunity because they needed it to be open and shut. We need to know what happened. We're not going to punish you. What baseball should have done beyond that, though, it should have taken away the World Series championship. It should not be in the books with the Houston Astros as the World Series champions. And I think that is what sticks in my craw and in your craw and in the craw of every baseball fan out there who knows that integrity is a big piece of baseball. It's part of the game. Merton Hanks is coming up. Pac-12 supervisor of football is going to be joining us in his inaugural appearance on this show. We're going to ask him about the football IQ that he brings. We'll ask him about the NFL. Ask him about his input when it came to scheduling in the Pac-12 conference. What's he concerned about? How much access will he have on a daily basis or weekly basis with the coaches in the conference? What's he going to do? What's his role? We'll find out from Merton Hanks coming up. Former 49er will be joining us. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. I appreciate everybody.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.